This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And Warriors Wednesday is brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And keyword. We're giving you the keyword that you need to claim a spot in the knockout tournament. There are only 7 spots left. And we are giving you the keyword to claim one of those spots in 10 minutes. Chase Center Floor, March 3rd. So just keep listening. Here's what I'll say about it. And I think it's a word to the wise that for anybody who works in the fun business, because I think we work in the fun business.
Yeah.
People not coming here to get mad. They're not coming here to get mad. And this is what, if I were ever given an opportunity after the last couple of years to say something to Klay Thompson, this is what I would say. It's kind of funny. You know what it makes me think of? Lovely Christie has told me this story a number of times, that when her daughters were really young, like sometimes, whatever, you're sitting around the house, kids start getting crazy at the witching hour, 6, 7 o'clock at night, they've had dinner, right? You get it. Yeah, I know you're living it still.
Dude.
They start going bananas. And she'd go, all right, we're getting in the car, we're going on an adventure, which can just mean Target or whatever, right? But when mom or dad or whoever does that for you, boy, you better be thankful. And if you get to go on that trip and someone's going to pull out their wallet and be like, let's go get something fun, and you act a fool and you start getting snippy and snappy and expectant, she would look at them and be like, we're out. And they'd be like, no, 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 mom. And she's like, too late. You ruined it. And that's what I'd say to Klay. It's like, dude, you ruined it. We're here to have fun. You are Warrior basketball. And night after night, we were forced to tune in and watch you sourpuss all over the TV. And it sucked. I'm just not going to sugarcoat it. I love the guy. I worked with his dad.
Yeah, for years.
But it sucked. That experience sucked.
Yeah, it got him. Thank you. It got to a point where it was tough to watch, and you watched him play, and it seemed like he was hunting his shot, and then you would hear from his coach and his teammates, and they would agree that he was out there hunting his shot. But the whole idea of, do you miss Klay or will you miss Debo? There aren't that many players, and I was just thinking about the big three teams. Like, which player on the team right now would you miss if they went elsewhere? And I'm thinking about Fred Warner and George Kittle and...
Yes and yes.
You know, Nick Bosa, I think, to maybe a lesser extent.
Less so.
But those are the first two Niners that I thought of on who I would miss. And with the Giants, it's Logan Webb and...
Justin Verlander.
Okay, I knew you were gonna go with the. I thought you were gonna go Camilo Doval.
No,
I'm a Giants fan.
Outside of Logan Webb, I'd be hard pressed to think about who I would miss. Like, I don't want Matt Chapman to go elsewhere. Right, Willie Adames,
but we're looking for a homegrown guy or someone who's never
just
worn another
who
uniform.
Might miss, like, you would miss Steph Curry if he went somewhere else.
Yeah,
That ball got Schmidt on.
Yeah, I don't know if I would miss Casey.
Yeah, there's probably not another great name. This is a weird one because he's only played like 40-something games. But with the way it started in his major league career and the way the audience sort of reacted to him, I'm here for Jung-Hoo Lee this year.
Okay.
I'm here for that.
I am too.
Yeah.
But if it was announced in a week, or heck, maybe Buster will say it in 10 minutes, guys, I got a breaker for you. We've traded Jung-Hoo Lee.
He's a Dodger.
To the Dodgers, yeah. He's going to hit ninth.
What'd you get back? Oh, no, nothing. No. The Dodgers just wanted him, so we gave him to him.
We got salary relief. We got the right to pay part of Shohei Ohtani's contract. But I was wondering as you were laying that out, like, who would I actually, quote unquote, miss?
Yeah.
Like, obviously the chef, and I do think, you know, Kittle and, for me, you know, Kittle and Fred Warner are those guys, and, you know, Brock Purdy you would miss, but.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's a very short list.
It is a very short list. But you know what? I can get my head around that. What I can't get my head around is you being out there on a sports field or court looking like you're not having fun. Looking like you just don't enjoy this, right? Like, we're coached that throughout our careers with what we do. If you sound like you're having a good time, then they're going to have a good time. I'm not here to be like, well, I'm having a bad day.
Yeah.
But we'll talk sports because we're supposed to. Like, good Lord. Let's have a good time.
Give the phone number.
Okay.
Let's go to the phones.
Big J is in Oakland. Hi, Big J. What are you doing?
I'm sitting here listening to you guys talking about Clay.
Okay.
I can tell you what I miss about him. I miss his Bay Area, you know, carefree attitude, you know, the boating to practice, the swimming in the ocean, and all those sort of things he would do, and what news story you would hear about him. And I also miss this contrived notion that I'd made up in my head about the Splash Brothers, and I'm including Draymond in that, retiring together. I had this whole thing made up that his last contract, you know, would kind of jive with theirs, and it would ride off into the sunset, having done this incredible thing over the last 10 years, and no one else had ever done it at all. So I miss those two things, but I don't miss the betrayal that I felt when he developed this attitude, and like you said, the sourpuss play, and going on and doing what he's doing right now. So those are the kind of things that I kind of thought about when he left.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. And certainly the Clay Thompson on the boat stuff and the, you know, the Rocco, the dog, and all of that. Like, Clay fit in so well. And so those kind of feature stories that we would get about Clay Thompson, because he's a unique guy, like, I loved that. I loved that. And so, sure, you miss that, and then I think he's also right. The concept of where this was all going, which we probably bought into too much, like, that was probably a harder nut to crack than we realized. For years, Steph, Clay, and Dre, they're definitely retiring as Warriors. Well, now it really almost never works out that way. And this didn't either. I don't even know if both of the other two are going to retire as Warriors.
Right.
Maybe.
Well, odds are that they won't, and I'm just looking at the stat on the most seasons ever played by one player on one team, and it's Dirk Nowitzki. He played 21 years in Dallas, and according to this article on NBA.com, only 10 players have ever played 16 or more seasons with one team. Only 10 guys.
Only 10.
Right. And I think that Steph is either about to be one, or next year he will be one.
How many seasons?
16 is the
16.
Number.
Oh, 16. Yeah, he's not there
yet.
This
is year 16 for Steph.
It is.
So,
okay.
I guess he would be...
He'd be the 11th.
He'd be added to this list, but it's Kobe, it's Udonis Haslam.
Oh, my God.
Tim Duncan, John Stockton,
sure.
Reggie Miller, Karl Malone, although he ended up going elsewhere.
He played
18 with Utah.
Jeez.
And Tony Parker went elsewhere, but he played 17 with San Antonio. Olajuwon, 17 with Houston. And then Ginobili and Havlicek. That's your list.
That's it?
Of players who, and again, these are not, they didn't all play for just one team in their career, but
no,
they played 16 or more.
Isaiah Thomas didn't play 16 with the Pistons?
I'm not seeing him. He played 13 years with the Pistons. And, you know, other guys like Kareem played 14 with the Lakers. He played a bunch with the Bucks.
Sure.
Paul Pierce, 15 with Boston. Ewing, 15. Dwayne Wade, 15. So these are guys, and now Steph Curry is in the 16 club, but... You know, you're hard-pressed to find one guy ever on a team, let alone all three who start together. So we all were foolish to think that.
Dennis Schroeder didn't get to 16 with the Warriors.
I'd have to look it up.
Did he get to 16 games?
He's been on 16 teams this year. The man got traded three times an hour.
Did he? No, did he? Did he get to 16 games with the Warriors?
I think he did.
Did he?
Yeah, I'll find it for you shortly.
This is close. Golden State, yeah, he gets 24.
Yeah.
24. Good job, Dennis.
Retire that out of 71.
Let's go to George in Brentwood. Hi, George. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys? No, I was going to say, both of them kind of they're kind of in the same situation. I feel like Debo, with IU getting hurt, had a chance to become a number one. He didn't. Same thing with Clay. You had Clay where Durant left. And Clay came back from injury, and, you know, he kind of didn't either. So,
yeah, I hear you, George. It feels like there's overlap, except for we don't fully know where the Debo thing is going yet. And I'd also argue that last year with Debo, it did feel a little bit like a Clay season, but it didn't necessarily feel as directed at the organization. Maybe it does now, right? But he was mad at the kicker. And then he was just mad. And then he was mad at himself, like that drop ball against the Rams. He was mad at the lack of opportunities, but that's just a wide receiver thing. I think that's omnipresent. So I don't know. It does feel a little bit like a Clay season. But as you pointed out, in the NFL, these things get wrapped up a hell of a lot quicker.
Right, and this one will get wrapped up, I would imagine, in the next month, because he's due a pretty big bonus in March, mid-March. He's due, I think, $13 or $14 million as a roster bonus. And if you're not going to keep him, then you don't want to give him the bonus and then trade him or release him. So this thing's going to happen here in the next month.
Yeah, and you want to do it before the draft. Bottom line, you want to do it before the draft if you're able to do it at all. Okay, keyword time, everybody. Buster Posey's joining us in 5 minutes, but it's time to give out the keyword that you need to claim a spot in the knockout tournament, Chase Center Court. Here is today's keyword. It is power. You know, kind of like the forward. Power. That's today's keyword. Sometime in the next 35 minutes, you're going to hear this sounder. Okay, don't call now, but that's what you're listening for. When you hear that sounder again, that's your cue to call our contest line at 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652, and the keyword is power. Don't call now, but save the number and the word. And when you hear the sounder again, be the first person to call in, give the correct keyword, and bang, you are in the knockout tournament on the Chase Center Court. Only 7 spots to go. So grab yours today. Keep listening. That sounder's coming soon. And thank you so much for your consistent efforts on getting in to our knockout party. Safety on roads and freeways starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change for all vehicle types. Friendly technicians check fluids, wipers, lights, tires, and more while you stay in your vehicle. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. Hey, everybody, here comes Buster Posey.
Awesome.
Buster Posey next on Willard and Dibbs.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, continuing here on Willard and Dibs, and this is a big moment. We've been looking forward to this as spring training is here and ready to roll, and it's a whole new era of Giants baseball. So joining us on the River Islands guest line is none other than Buster Posey himself. Hey, Buster, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Doing great. How are y'all?
We're good. I just want to know, like, even the way you sort of stepped into this job, you admitted this is a little new. So how are the shoes fitting you so far?
You know, I've really enjoyed it. I mean, it's a chance to definitely do something different. I mean, it's still baseball, though. You know, I think that's kind of where I've landed, is the enjoyment for me is getting to talk baseball every single day, and you're looking at things from a different angle, and but really you're just surrounded with people that are passionate about the game. And gosh, I can just remember loving the game before I can even remember anything. So to get to continue to be a part of the game in this role is it's been great.
But you go from loving the game to now actually being the game and changing the game. So what's the last 4 months been like for you, being somebody who's actually holding the levers for what's going on with the Giants?
Well, I mean, I guess that's one way you can look at it. I mean, ultimately, I think the game goes because of two parties. It's the players and it's the fans. So, you know, I think you know, what I've tried to relay, and I think it's important that for all of us in the front offices that, yes, I mean, it's a big job to try to put the most talented amount of players out there on the field, and you're analyzing different scenarios all the time. But ultimately, it boils down to what happens in between the lines. And, you know, it's like I said, I think this game goes because of what the players do on the field and the entertainment value they bring by great play and their personalities. And then the fans showing up at the park, we all got a good taste of that, right? Back in COVID when we didn't have fans in the ballpark, and just how different it is. So to me, it's those two parties that really make it go. And then the rest of us are just getting to be along for the ride.
Buster, I think for a first big move, it certainly gathered the fan base by getting Willy Adames, and then also the way he talked about interacting with you, a great first step. But I do wonder how you sort of feel about whatever all the goals were for this offseason, and then what actually happened, and sort of how you feel about how those two things blended together.
Well, I'd say our primary goal was to acquire a shortstop, and you know, Willie checked so many boxes for us. As you mentioned, his excitement about coming to San Francisco and already embracing the Bay Area as a whole has been really encouraging, and it's real. And you know, early on in our conversations, it was apparent that if he felt like that we got to a place where he was valued fairly, you know, he would commit to being a San Francisco Giant. He did that, and we're all excited about him being in the fold. And you know, one guy that keeps popping up on in my mind is Jung-Hoo Lee, and obviously he had a partial season last year, but from my perspective, he really changed the dynamic in the feel of the team, and losing him was a big part of the season last year. So excited to have him back. You know, Verlander, obviously his track record speaks for itself, and again, a guy that I think, you know, he said it publicly, we weren't really on his radar heading into the off season, but getting a chance to talk to him, was just texting with him the other day, and he's fired up to get in spring training, and we really feel, you know, like he's got something left in the tank, and he feels the same way, and the added bonus to a guy like him is what our younger pitchers can learn just from watching him. You know, I don't think it doesn't even have to be a concerted effort on his part to grab a guy and say, this is what you need to do. But he's just the consummate professional. So we're really excited to have him on board. And then, you know, we've got a lot of young players that are going to get some runway, and that's an exciting time. It's going to create competition. And as we get kicked off here, in another week or so in Scottsdale, it's going to be fun to watch that take place.
Buster, you caught my attention at that Adames press conference when you sort of indicated all is well in the world when the Giants are playing good baseball, and you said this is a baseball town. Do you feel like the Giants have lost that a little bit over the last 5 or 6 years?
I don't think so. I mean, I still, you know, my interactions with the fan base, I wouldn't say so. No, I mean, look, I think the Giants fan base is a proud fan base, and they want a winner on the field. They want entertaining players, and that's what, you know, our job is to try to deliver that.
And you look at, like, what you guys did back in 10, 12, and 14, it felt like it was homegrown and players that, you know, fans could really latch onto. When you look at the farm and trying to develop what you guys built with, you know, Timmy and Mad Bum and yourself and Pablo and the rest, is that one of your big focuses to try to get the farm to where it can, you know, produce people who will be here for a long time?
Yeah, no question. No question. I mean, as you mentioned, I'd say the Giants kind of hit the jackpot as far as the type of players that they were able to draft and develop. And it's a big focus of ours. And something I talked about to the minor leaguers last year, when I was down in spring training for a little bit, was just the opportunity that's in front of them. Because it is a fan base that wants to, I think is, pays attention to who's in the minor leagues, pays attention to who might be an impact player in the big leagues. And it's different. You know, it's different when you do come through the system and you kind of grow up in front of everybody. And we most definitely want to try to develop as many of those players and personalities as we can.
Buster Posey with us on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Let's talk about those minor leagues for a second. Buster, how do you help Bryce Eldridge navigate this at age 20 and all of this attention?
Well, I'm excited to spend some time around him. I haven't had a chance to spend any time around him, but from all reports, he wants to be the guy. And I think that's more than half the battle, that if he's has that mentality that he wants to be up at the plate in the big situation, he wants to make a play in a big situation. It looks like the guy can really hit, you know, I mean, it really does. I don't want to sell it too much and put any unnecessary pressure on him. But if he just continues on the path he's on, I think he's going to be in a great place. And, I think some of the stuff I'll talk to him about is just the day to day, making sure that you're working to improve daily and being patient and understanding that if you continue to put in the work, you continue to work and get better, that your time will come. And we most certainly, when he does arrive in San Francisco, want it to be an arrival that he's going to be in a position to succeed and be here for the long haul.
Do you have hope? And again, without putting too much pressure on the situation, is there a path to the big leagues for him this year?
I think our preference would be for him to get another year under his belt and get reps in both offensively and defensively, but you never say never. You know, I mean, I don't think any of us would be disappointed if he forced our hand, if it came to that at some point in the year. But internally, you know, talking with Randy Wang, Kyle Haynes, and player development, we're all on the same page that we want to make sure he's as developed and prepared as he can be so that again, he can have a long and very successful career.
But do you think about your own journey? And I remember covering you in 2009 down in the Cal League, and I was doing games with Joe Rizzo, and you're hitting homers. And then about a year later, all of a sudden you got elevated so quickly. Do you think about your own journey and your own elevation in terms of, you know, sometimes plans change based on how a guy does?
There's no question. There's no question that it does. And every player's unique and different. For me, I was also at that point a couple two, maybe 3 years older than Bryce is right now. So I do think it's important that we just somewhat pause and realize that he recently turned 20. And that's not to say that a 20-year-old can't be a hugely impactful big league player. We've seen it. But it is pretty rare. So as much as anything, again, our hope is, and by all accounts, he has the right makeup to just keep working, getting better each and every day. The results will take care of themselves if he does that.
Buster, these freaking Dodgers. I wonder. Obviously, all you can do is take care of yourselves, right? I get that. But how do you combat this, what they're doing? And I don't just mean that in a baseball sense. I sort of mean like the way the fan base is processing it, because everybody sort of feels like this is just, it feels like it's too much to battle.
Well, you kind of answered the question for me. I mean, you truly do have to just worry about what you can do. And that's easier said than worry with what you can control. Easier said than done sometimes, of course, right? But for us as a team, that's going to be a big message of mine and, you know, the coaching staff as well. Is let's look inward, let's focus and control what we can control. And, not to replay the past, but I felt like we did a really good job of that in 2021. Came into the season, I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams would have imagined that we would have, you know, won the division that year and won 107 games. And that's the beauty of sport, is things can look one way on paper, but you can have completely different outcomes. And every team can. To answer your question about the way that teams operate, I mean, teams can operate any way they want to operate. So again, I think that's just an internal reflection. Probably the answer you figured I was going to give you, so sorry I didn't give anything.
A little juicier there.
But I
would love your response to this, because we hear from tons of people when they see all these signings and all this deferred money, they go, this is bad for baseball. What's your response to that?
Well, my response is that, again, it's all about the players we try to get great talent, they're trying to get great talent, and whether it's bad for baseball or not, who's to say? I would assume if I don't know all of the inner workings of what's going on, the people that are saying that it's bad for baseball probably don't understand the inner workings. They could be right, they could be wrong. I don't know.
When you look at what they've done with their lineup and you think about your own ballpark, do you look at your success as a player, 10, 12, and 14, pitching and defense as kind of the blueprint? Do you look at that as a way to, you know, get the Giants back to success based on your ballpark and what else is going on in the division?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think pitching and defense plays no matter the ballpark, but specifically in ours, we were carried to championships by great pitching, great defense, timely hitting. That's not to discount offense at all. We want to score as many runs as possible. But I do think that in tight games, big games, close games, playoff games, the teams that can execute on the mound and catching the ball are the ones that tend to come out on top. So, it's going to be a big focus of ours on the big league side, minor league side, is being as prepared and just complete baseball players all the way through.
Buster, you were such a great culture tone setter as a player, and so I wonder how much of your thought process is now based on that as you help build this generation of Giants baseball. And Adamas seems like such a great culture guy. You guys signed up Chapman long term. To what level is that going to your thinking when you're putting this all together?
Yeah, it's a big part of it. I mean, I think where I land on that is now in the position I'm in, there's only so much I can do. When you're a player, you're in the day-to-day, you're behind the scenes having conversations, you're able to read the room much better than you are if you're not in that clubhouse or on that field every single day. So ultimately, my belief is that some of those leaders that you mentioned, the Adamas, the Chapmans, the Verlanders, the Webbs, they have to be the ones that set the tone. And for me, I think it's conversations with them. What do you want your team to look like? What do you want to be known for? What do you want your identity to be? Like, when people think about the 2025 Giants, what are they going to remember? And hopefully having those conversations and then players, you know, taking that ownership, they spread it throughout the clubhouse it matters. It really does. It's one of the few things that we can't measure anymore, but it does matter.
You were a catcher, your manager was a catcher, and you have a good young catcher in Patrick Bailey. When the three of you catchers get together, and, you know, Bo Mel and yourself and Patrick Bailey, when you look at Patrick Bailey, do you see a catcher who can be of the same ilk as you and Bo Mel?
We just want Bailey to be Bailey. I mean, that's ultimately all he can do, and he's already shown great ability defensively, winning a Gold Glove already. He's going to pass me with one more, and he's hopefully his. I think it is. I know him decently well, but for him to understand just the value that he has in leading that staff and being a sounding board for the guys, constantly communicating and I mentioned reading rooms for culture, but as a catcher, you're constantly reading body language from pitchers and helping you make decisions on pitches you're calling and maybe conversations that you're having. So, that's my hope for him, that he continues to progress in his development that way, and I don't see any reason why he's not going to.
Okay, Buster, as you guys head to spring training, is it kind of like, does the job change a little bit, or could there still be some roster construction going on?
Yeah, I think, look, my first year doing it, so we'll see. You're always going to keep an open mind, I think, right? I mean, you're always going to keep an open mind and in different ways that you can improve. But I do think that you reach a certain point where it's go time and you go and you start to foster that environment like we were talking about a few minutes ago with the culture and guys getting behind one another and being in the day-to-day grind. And hopefully all that work that goes into it leads to a lot of wins.
Do you at least feel comfortable saying that you won't be signing any more players who are 4 years older than you are?
Yeah, wow.
I don't know if there's any more out there. I feel pretty comfortable saying that.
Yeah, it feels like you signed him just so you could feel young again, Buster.
Well, it worked.
It did. I mean, you still firmly believe, though. I know that you guys talk about the leadership thing, but you still think he's got some good pitches in him.
100% do. Yeah, 100% do. He's been great with working with JP Martinez, pitching coach, and they've been going back and forth, and he feels like Verlander feels like he's in a great spot. So excited to see him here soon in Scottsdale.
Well, Bartolo Colon's out there in case you need to add more guys in their 40s, Buster.
Is he 40? I figured he'd be pushing 50 by now, but we'll take a look. Yeah.
He probably is. Exactly. He probably is. Buster, thank you so much, man. We're looking forward to the season, and we appreciate you.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Buster Posey joining us here on Willard and Dibs. And Bartolo Colon, 51.
Right.
Older than me.
Yeah.
Hey.
I mean, could be older than me, depending on where you find your information. But he's only been out of baseball for 5 years. I didn't think it was that far.
Is that all?
Yeah, 2018 as a 45-year-old.
What'd you make of the Bryce Eldridge conversation that we just had with Buster Posey? And again, for those of you who are not doing your assignment and listening closely to every single word that he said, here's essentially the summary. The idea is they would like Bryce Eldridge to have another full year in the minor leagues. That's the plan. I do think, A, that's probably the plan. Part B is Buster's going to say that publicly every time because we are starting to get a little ahead of ourselves on pressure on Bryce Eldridge. He's 20 years old.
Right.
And we got people being like, so that's a 40-homer guy in the bigs. Yo, breaks, big time. So I get that. They're going to try to pull the pressure away from Bryce Eldridge, but that's their hope. But he left the door open if Bryce wants to force his way up to the big league club.
Right. The door is open, and if you look at what he's done in the minor leagues, he's played basically one full season of baseball, 147 games. He's had 555 at-bats, so that's basically one full year of professional baseball, 29 home runs, 110 driven in. And I know this is the minors, but what he's done in 147 games is driven in almost a run a game. 32 doubles, 29 home runs, an OPS of 893, and that's at the lower levels. The majority of that is single and double A and in rookie ball and fall league and all the rest of it, but he is on a very nice trajectory. I actually liked hearing that from Buster because if he forces his way up, by the time you get to August, if he's been in Sacramento for 3 months or 4 months, and he's got 25 home runs, and he's not having any real slump stretch, then go ahead and bring him up. But I do think there's great value in taking the pressure off a young kid.
I just think we're talking about this from a baseball perspective, and I'd like to talk about it from an entertainment perspective and a marketing perspective. Bryce Eldridge, if he is going to be what they hope he's going to be, is exactly what the Giants need. And actually, let me argue, there's a piece of him who's exactly what the Giants need, even if he's disappointing. My point is this. The San Francisco Giants, for whatever reason, from a personality standpoint, a baseball record standpoint, they've got to get something that pops off of that field that makes people really want to go watch games and get excited about what's going on. And you watch what happens, like when an Elliot Ramos comes up and grabs it, makes the All-Star team, grabs everyone's attention for a second. Jung-Hoo Lee did it when the season started. But then as things calm down and Jung-Hoo gets hurt and then Luciano comes up and it's not it, and Matos comes up and it is it, and then it's not it, and we're going to send him back down. Like, that's the thing. Obviously, Willie Adames may come in and start hitting the ball all over the yard, and that would be wonderful. But the Giants need pizzazz in their lineup. And so my hope is that Bryce is ready for whatever coming, because the Giants might get to a spot where they're battling the idea of baseball ready and marketing need for this kid.
Well, you should have enough marketing fulfillment with Jung-Hoo Lee, and I know you've talked already about it, where Jung-Hoo Lee is becoming the center of the marketing. You got Adames and Chapman on the left side. You've got your face of the franchise, Logan Webb, is back. You got a couple of other good young pitchers. You should have enough to market around that you're not hoping against hope that your 20-year-old phenom can come up, be great, and be the face. That seems unfair to me.
You know what they say when you hear that.
Yeah.
You know what they say, don't you?
It's good take, dude.
No, they say, kaboo! There it is! That's the sounder!
Come on!
And so it's time to grab a spot in the knockout tournament by calling right now. Do you have the keyword that we gave you earlier this hour? I hope you have it. Here's the contest line if you need that. 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652. Call right now with the correct keyword. The first person to do so is in the knockout tournament, Chase Center Court, playing hoops with us Monday, March 3rd. So again, call now, 415-523-4652. Best of luck. Thank you for listening. Thank you for trying. We hope to meet you there. If you don't get in, you do have more chances. They are running low, but you do have more chances. Three more tomorrow, three more Friday, six more chances to work your way into the knockout tournament. We really hope to see you there. The next available spot will be with the roast tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. All right, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Time for us to start working our way toward Warrior basketball. Warriors Live is 45 minutes away. Couple things we want to get to. Joe Lacob said some stuff about Jonathan Kuminga to The Athletic that's really worth our time and discussion. If you haven't heard what he said, it was definitive. We will get to that coming up next. Plus, we'll continue to take your phone calls on the conversation we were having earlier. Do you miss Clay? Warriors are playing them again here in just over an hour. What's your experience been with these 50-plus games? Are you missing Klay Thompson? 888-957-9570. That's the number. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Dub Nation, it's Quinton Post. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
What do you think we got for Quinton tonight? Is he going to start?
That's a good question, Mark.
Is he going to hit over 2.5 threes?
Is that where the line is now?
I don't know.
It's usually 1.5 for QP3.
Yeah.
I like a Quinton Post 2-3 performance. That feels about right. That feels about normal for Quinton.
Let me open up the Underdog app.
All right.
My guess for starting lineup is they go small again with Moody at the 4 and Draymond at the 5, because the Mavs have no big men available at all tonight.
Okay. Along with Heald, Butler, and Steph.
Yes.
That's
Gafford out, Lively out.
And P.J. Washington all day has been questionable. He has just been ruled out as well.
Oh, for God's sake.
They have literally no big men tonight.
Yeah.
No bigs.
All right. So it's Kyrie and Clay. Have you heard of any other Mavs?
Najee Marshall?
Okay. I've heard of him.
NBA player.
Yeah. He plays. He's got a jersey. Hang on. I got to scroll a long way. Okay. Here's the Warriors. Jimmy Buckets is at 20.5. Steph's at 27.5. You could place some money on Draymond Green over 0.5 of 3.
Okay.
Over 0.5 of 3.
You won't.
Stand on it.
No, they don't have Quinton up. Quinton is not up. Quinton does not play enough to apparently, he has not made the app.
Usually he pops into the 3-point shooting category
sometimes.
Only. And I'm just looking at his games that he's played. He's played in 12 straight games. And in those 12 games, he has made two or more threes in 7 of them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Or two or more.
Two or more.
Okay, multiple threes in seven of 12.
Yeah. He's got three ones and a couple of gooses in there.
Yeah, they may slot it where it's like the number's 1.5, but you don't get the odds because he's probably going to hit two. I don't know. We'll see. This is quickly becoming another one of those games for the Warriors where you're kind of like, okay, if you're going to get a team at this time in this spot, you better go win. You better go win this game because they're not putting any of their people out there tonight. And you already dropped that game in Utah last week where they didn't have any of their people in there.
Yeah.
And you had a 10-point lead with 2 minutes to go. And you found a way to gack that thing.
That was a sadness game. That was a game where you were probably really conflicted.
Yeah,
you lost half your team.
But where was the sadness for the first 3.75 quarters? You were fine.
Yeah, not there.
You were ahead.
Yep.
So, I don't know, man. I got a hard time using that as an excuse.
Yeah, no excuses.
You had 2 minutes to go and you had the game and you found a way to lose that thing.
It's kind of been the season, though. The games that you expect them to win, they lose. The games you don't expect them to win, they go out and they win. I mean, they beat OKC at the end of January, and then you turn around and then Phoenix motorboats you at home.
Yeah.
So you just never know with this team.
No, of course not. That's been Warrior basketball. It feels suddenly a little bit more reliable and consistent since Jimmy Butler arrived, but let's be real, that's two basketball games, and the first half of the first game looked awful. So I don't know. I know that it feels like they've got Uncle Mo, but they're getting the Mavs at the right time tonight, and you hope they're able to be victorious. We'll have all of it, obviously, right here on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. We started a conversation last hour. Do you miss Klay Thompson? How has that felt now that the Warriors will be meeting with him for the third time? So we can get back into that in a second, and we will. But I also want to point out something, and this is not me. You can do the beep, beep, beep if you want. I'm not backtracking.
You're looking real good once you back that thing up.
Well, I could repeat the line to you if you want, but let me just say this. If you were with us last week, and I've gotten all the tweets and texts from those of you who were, I was very skeptical on the Jimmy Butler deal. And I was very clear in stating, I hope I'm wrong. And so far, I'm heading that direction. It's only been two games. I'm not going to do the I was wrong yet, although I'd be very happy to do the I was wrong. Powerful statement, and I'm a Warrior fan. I would like to be wrong on Jimmy Butler. But everybody who had any skepticism on Jimmy Butler, I think there were a number of reasons that you might be pointing to. You might be pointing to age. You might be pointing to attitude, right? Does Draymond and Jimmy, do they mix, blah, blah, blah. Here was my concern. My concern on Jimmy Butler honestly had very little to do with the player. It had to do with the situation contractually and beyond. It felt to me like the Warriors had been holding this flexibility, holding, holding, holding. And what they had room for was one big swing. And this was it. And my thought was, boy, that might not have been the big swing that I would take. I might have held out. Like, what happens now if Giannis does become available in a year or two? The reason I'm starting to feel better about the Jimmy Butler deal is not because he shot a bunch of free throws and won two basketball games. It's because Warrior ownership, quite frankly, is saying what I want them to say, which is no, no, no. We're going into the tax. We're absolutely still have our freedom. We're absolutely going to sign Jonathan Kuminga. And we still believe that there's room for more moves if those moves come available. I looked at it and didn't think that was realistic. And maybe they're just blowing smoke, but Dibs, that's what they're saying right now.
Right, and they're allowed to go above the tax again. They're allowed to go into the second apron, and they won't have repeater penalties if they go above $200 million because this year they weren't in that area. So I do think they set themselves up to make a big swing, and they made a big swing at the deadline, bringing in Jimmy Butler, and then they paid him. And that's what made me less skeptical about the deal, is the fact that you brought in Jimmy, and I didn't want him to bring him in and have there be uncertainty about his contract. Well, now he has certainty, and he's going to be terminating at the same time as Steph and Draymond. They'll be co-terminus, and so now you have your team. You've got your window. Now, you can go out and spend a little bit on Kuminga. You can maybe even bring in a little bit more next year. I don't think you have the room to bring in another max-type player, but you can go into the offseason and sign Kuminga and get better around them and give it one last real run for the last 2 years of Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy Butler.
I mean, the quotes from Joe Lacob to Anthony Slater that you showed me earlier, by the way, are hilarious.
Yep.
He starts asking about Jonathan Kuminga, and we could read it to you, but the bottom line is he barely will let Anthony Slater finish the question. He's like, Kuminga? Well, what are you, crazy? Of course we're signing him. Well, what if you need to? Yes, we're signing him.
So?
what if it costs a lot of money? Fine. We love the guy. End quote. And Joe Lacob, it's always interesting when an ownership group does that because you're putting that in ink. It's just like when Jed York said it about Brock Purdy. You're putting it in ink. I get maybe you might, like, people might read it and go, oh, dude, are you trying to, like, up his value or something? That's an odd thing to do right before negotiations start, to start saying things like, we're going to pay him, and we love him. You know, with Purdy, maybe they felt like, look, this is a fait accompli. We know where the quarterback market is. The Jonathan thing feels like it's much more open for debate.
It is, and I also think that they are aware of the fact that not a lot of other teams have a ton of money to come over the top on any Warrior deal that they won't be likely to match. And, you know, you like Kuminga, you've developed Kuminga, and you've already shown a willingness to spend more money than any team in the history of the association. Their tax penalty last year was record-setting. Your total bill has been far and away the most ever in the association. So you're not bluffing when you talk about, yeah, we could go out there and pay Kuminga, keep Kuminga, and go back in the tax. It's kind of what Lacob has always done.
Here's the exchange that we're referring to. It's really pretty funny. So Slater writes, in a recent interview with Joe Lacob, he was asked if Butler's addition would complicate Kuminga's future, which is a point that many of us brought up. Like, oh man, I don't know about Kuminga now. Would Butler making that kind of paper, $55.5 million average? I know that's not what he's making next year. So, would Butler's addition complicate Kuminga's future? Lacob goes, why? And then The Athletic says, well, because Butler's salary is pretty big next year, it happens to be $26 million more than what Andrew Wiggins was going to make. Yeah? So?
This is my favorite.
I mean,
it's like talking to a teenager. Yeah.
So. Okay, so then, Joe, you're committed to Jonathan Kuminga in the future. Quote,
duh.
Absolutely. 100%. Are you kidding me? I love that guy. We love him. Well, there's your answer.
Yeah, there it is.
But Kuminga's not going anywhere.
Right. Unless he gets an offer for $45 million a year, which I don't think will be out there. And they read the market, and they understand where Kuminga's market likely is. And, yeah, if it's $25 million a year, whatever the number is, yeah, you're going to keep him. Steiny actually threw out an interesting combination of numbers and years today that I actually loved, and it's a shorter deal. I think he said 3 and 72, which would be $24 million a year on average, and it would only be a three-year deal. That way, if you're Kuminga and you really want the big money and the big money's not there, you sign a shorter-term deal. And if Jonathan Kuminga signs a three-year deal, when that contract is up, you're 25. You're only 25.
Right.
So he's not in a spot like Jimmy Butler, I want an extension. Okay, Jimmy, I'm sure you want a lot for as long as you possibly can. You're 35. I get it. Kuminga's 22, so I'm sure he would like the Franz Wagner contract or whatever other contracts got doled out to his class.
Yeah, but you're not getting it. Scotty Barnes,
right,
like you're
Scotty
not getting
Barnes,
it.
Thank yeah. you. So you're not getting that. So if you're not getting that, then why sign for 5 years? Why not do 3 and 80,
I don't know.
For example?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes guys look at that and they're a little bit more interested in, you know, not the AAV, but the overall. Like you say, why sign for 5? Well, what would the 5-year offer be? What would the 5-year offer be?
Well, if it's 5 and 100, let's just say.
Okay, well, some people, I'm not saying all, some people will go, well, 100 is more than 80.
It is.
And NBA money is guaranteed. I'm with you. Yeah. I get that he may make a lot more than that if he decides to kick the can down the road. But some might look at that and go, that's 20 more million guaranteed dollars.
True. And, you know, bad things can happen and totally. Careers can be derailed. And as a 22-year-old, even if you're getting, let's say the options are 3 and 75 or 5 and 100, well, 100's more than 75. I get it. But you think, I'm 22, I'll do 3 and 75. And then as a 25-year-old, if I continue to get better at this rate, well, when that happens, and Steph and Draymond and Jimmy Buckets are all gone after 3 more years, well, now I might be in position to get a max here with Golden State if I'm as good as I think I'm going to be.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.